A reading from Holy Scripture this morning is taken from 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. It's a very familiar portion of Scripture, and yet, just a few weeks ago, reading through it, it came with freshness to my own soul. And we want to consider a couple of verses from this chapter this morning. We're going to read from verse 1 to verse 11. God's word says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. The word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. It came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou calledest me. He said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. The Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. He answered, I call not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. The Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, which both the ears of every one that heareth it shall tingle. Amen. And we land our reading at verse 11. Trust the Lord will bless the reading of His precious and inspired word to all of our hearts. I want to take as my text this morning the words of verse 8 and verse 9 of 1 Samuel chapter 3. It says, the Lord called Samuel again the third time. He arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go lie down. And it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. These well-known verses were brought to my attention afresh just a number of weeks ago. I had been asked to speak at a school event, a Christian school event, and I had been given the subject to speak to a number of teachers on. That subject was counseling children for Christ. I have to say that I found it challenging as I began to search the scriptures for material on such a subject. And yet this portion, and indeed these verses, were impressed particularly upon my mind. How Eli dealt with Samuel is a good guide for how Christian parents, Christian teachers, Christian workers in the Lord's work should deal with and counsel children and young people. With the recommencement of our autumn and winter's work, the Sabbath school, the children's meeting, the Christian day school itself, the youth fellowship, the work of the reach, as these activities recommence again, I felt that it would be profitable to examine and look at this passage and to examine and look at this theme, even as a Christian parent or grandparent. It is a wonderful theme and a wonderful passage, how we relate to our children in relation to spiritual matters and the gospel, and how we deal with them in a spiritual way. But before we come to our headings or our points this morning, just by further way of introduction, let me say that it is interesting to note that in this passage, Hannah brought her son Samuel to the house of God in Shiloh and placed him under the care of the spiritual oversight there. It all began in chapter 1, verse 11, where Hannah was goaded. Hannah was put down by Peninnah. She was provoked because she had no children, and so she made a vow to the Lord. You'll see it in chapter 1 and verse 11 at the end of that chapter. But if she's saying, if the Lord will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. And she's promising, you give me a son and I give him back to you. She's acknowledging that children are an heritage of the Lord. They're a gift from the Lord. And she's saying, Lord, if you give me the child, I'll give him back to you. What did that mean, or what did that entail for Hannah to give the child back to the Lord? In verse 24, she brings him. It says at the end of verse 24, chapter 1, she brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. After weaning him, after raising him a number of years, she took him up to the house of the Lord. If you look at chapter 2, verse 18 and 19, tells us, but Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, verse 19, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. It's evident from these verses that after Samuel was weaned, when he was old enough, she brought him to the house of God in Shiloh, and there she left him. She came up year to year for the sacrifice with her husband, but she left her child with Eli the priest under his spiritual care. I'd love to stop there, for you know that's the way it should be. Parents should be able to trust Christian people with their children. And yet, because of the wicked scandal of Rome and the multitudes of pervert priests, scarcely no one now will trust anyone with their children. And here's Hannah, and she brings her little boy up to the house of God, and she leaves him. She leaves him with Eli. And she placed him under the care of Eli. And you will see in chapter 3 that we read, it tells us that the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. In verse 3, it tells us that his ministry, and even laying down, he was there. He lay down to sleep in the house of the Lord, ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. And Samuel lay down to sleep. And you get a picture. I know the circumstances are different, but I'm saying there's a picture. Here is a mother in Israel, and she's made a promise to the Lord about her son, and she brings him up to the house of the Lord, and she leaves him in the care of Eli, the spiritual oversight, there in the house of the Lord. And there is a sense when parents bring their children, whether it be to the church services or the Sabbath school or the children's meeting or other aspects of the work, they're placing their children and young people under our spiritual care. And when she did so, God dealt with Samuel. And Eli was there to counsel him. And from these verses, I want you to notice four things about this counsel for Samuel from Eli. I want you to notice the first thing is that God speaks to children. Look at verse 8. The Lord called Samuel again the third time. Verse 1 emphasizes that Samuel was a child, and the child Samuel ministered. We often say God has an interest in children, and he does, and we often quote the verse. When the disciples would have sent the children away from Jesus, we often quote that verse, "Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." And we say Christ has an interest in the children, and he does. But oh, the Lord has more than an interest in children. God speaks to children, and he calls children to himself. Do you remember the prophet Jeremiah? Now, you don't get far into Jeremiah chapter 1, and you read of God's call to Jeremiah. And what did Jeremiah say? "Lord, I cannot speak, for I am a child." And we believe that when God called Jeremiah, he was young. And there the Lord was speaking to Jeremiah in his young years. He's speaking to Samuel as a child. He spoke personally. He spoke directly. He spoke savingly. He spoke powerfully to call Samuel to the work of the prophecy, the work of a prophet. And I tell you, that is what we want when our children attend the house of God. We want the Lord to speak to them. That's what we need for our children and our grandchildren. A few splashes of water on the head is no substitute to God speaking directly to our children. I believe in teaching the children the catechism, but I want to tell you, God's speaking voice is far more necessary than giving them a creed to memorize. That's what our children need. If all they have is a ritual, if all they have is a creed, without the speaking voice of God, it will profit them nothing. I tell you, we need and we long for and we pray that God will speak directly through his word to our children and young people. But I want you to see something very interesting about God speaking to the child Samuel. Look at verse 3. "And ere the lamp went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep." Now, Samuel was in the temple when the Lord spoke to him. And I say to you, get your children to the house of the Lord. God speaks in his house. God speaks in the public place. And therefore endeavor to have your children and your grandchildren in the house of the Lord, if at all possible. But do you notice that before or when the Lord spoke to Samuel, the lamp had not gone out. There were lamps in the temple. And ere the lamp of God went out, God spoke to Samuel. Isn't that interesting? You see, the lamp in the Bible is a type and a picture of God's precious word. Psalm 119 and the verse 105. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And there, that's why there was a light in the temple. That's why the candlestick was there. It's signifying that the lamp and the light is to burn in the house of God. The house of God is to have the light of God's word shining forth. And before the lamp went out, God spoke to Samuel. Do you see the symbolism? Do you see the picture? It's when the light is shining. It's when the word of God is being held forth. It's when the word of God is being proclaimed that God speaks to men and women and to young people. As God's word shines, the Lord speaks. Isn't that what Paul taught Timothy? 2 Timothy 3 verse 15, he said, "From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation." It's the Scriptures that make children and adults wise unto salvation. And therefore, the ultimate aim of all of our children's work and ministry should be to teach the children and the young people the Word of God, that it will make them wise. They will know the doctrine and the way of salvation. And the aim of all of our spiritual counsel and guidance should be centered upon the Word of God. And I say, may it ever shine in this house. May it ever shine in our Sabbath services. May it ever have central place in our Sabbath school and our children's work and our youth works. The Word of God shining forth, pointing the way of salvation, because it's through the Word of God that the Lord spoke. God speaks to young people. That's the first point from verse 8. I want you to look again at verse 8 and see, secondly, that Samuel sought counsel from Eli when God was speaking to him. It says, "And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he rose and went to Eli." And then in verse 9, we read that Eli counseled Samuel. Eli said unto Samuel, and Samuel went and lay down. So you have Samuel hearing the voice of the Lord. And isn't it interesting to note that as the little child, Samuel was confused. He didn't understand that it was God speaking to him. We cannot be critical of Samuel as a child, because the Bible has a number of examples of grown adults who, when the Lord was speaking to them, did not understand. They were confused. We could mention Nicodemus. He came as an aged man, and Jesus said to him, "Ye must be born again if you're ever to enter into the kingdom of God." And when we consider Nicodemus's reply, we're embarrassed. We're embarrassed for him. He said, "Lord, can a man enter the second time into the mother's womb?" He didn't know what the Lord was speaking about when Jesus said, "Ye must be born again." And the Lord asked him, "Are you a master, a teacher in Israel? You're a teacher of God's word, and you don't know what it is to be born again." And it was only by the Lord counseling and showing Nicodemus that the new birth, it was a birth of the Spirit. It was about spiritual life. And that birth taking place by the direct work of the Spirit upon the soul, that Nicodemus came to understand it. Do you remember Philip? Philip the evangelist, what did the Lord tell him to do? To leave Samaria in Acts chapter 8 and go down into the desert. There was an African man, and he was going home to Africa from Jerusalem. And he was reading his Bible. He was reading the Old Testament. And Acts 8 tells us he read Isaiah 53 and verse 7 about the lamb being led to the slaughter. And Philip asked him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He said, "How can I accept some man? Show me." Here's wee Samuel, and he doesn't realize. He's just like the Ethiopian eunuch. He's just like Nicodemus. God was working in the heart. God was speaking to him. He didn't recognize it. And he brought his needs, and he brought his thoughts to Eli. In his confusion, he sought advice and help from Eli. And that says something, in fact, it says a number of things to me about Eli. Tells me Eli was approachable. Eli had a relationship with Samuel that Samuel could approach him and ask him, Eli, are you talking to me? I know the situation was Samuel thought Eli was calling him. But Eli, I believe Eli treated Samuel like a grandfather would treat a grandchild there in the temple. And Samuel was able to approach Eli. And I say to you that surely that is the relationship we want to have, first of all, with our own children or grandchildren, if you have them. And secondly, with the children God places under our care. We want them to be able to approach us about spiritual matters. But it also tells me not only was Eli approachable, but he had the right answer. He was able to counsel and point Samuel in the right direction. And I say that because we find that Eli was not perfect. In fact, his faults are clearly evident. If you look at chapter 2 and the verse 29, you will see the Lord's grievance with Eli. Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me. Eli's sons were wretches. And it is not unknown in Scripture for godly men and women, their offspring, to go terribly wrong and live in awful sin. And Eli's sons, what did they do? Well, they robbed from the sacrifices. They enriched themselves from the sacrifices that were for the Lord. And they robbed of the Lord. But they also were immoral. They lay with the women who came to the temple to do sacrifice. And Eli, knowing about it, rebuked it not. And he allowed them to continue in that office without rebuke. And shame was brought upon the office of the priesthood. He honored his sons above the Lord. And yet, while Eli was not perfect, yet we Samuel could approach him. And Eli was able to counsel him for the Lord. And I say that simply to point out that though we all have our faults and our failings, I trust that we will display a spirit of love and grace toward the children and the youth. There's a wonderful story. It's told of a young boy in one of D.L. Moody's Sunday schools before D.L. Moody became a very famous and renowned evangelist. He commenced a number of Sabbath schools in the city of Chicago. They were Sunday schools that were attended by the poorest and the wildest children of the city. And one day, one of the workers asked one of the young boys, a wild young man who was very much living in sin and up to no good, as we would say, around the city, one of the street children. And he was asked a question, why do you keep coming to the Sunday school? And the wee fella replied in these words, because they love a fella here. For all his rascality and his waywardness, he knew that the people and the teachers in Moody Sunday School showed him love. And they were approachable. And they could point him to the Savior. And oh, may that spirit of grace and love and approachableness be known in our hearts and in our ministry for the Lord. Samuel sought counsel from Eli when the Lord was speaking to him. I want you to notice the third thing from these verses, and it is this. Not only did God speak to Samuel as a child, Samuel sought counsel from Eli, but thirdly, Eli gave the right advice. Look at verse 8, it tells us, Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. You know, at first Eli didn't recognize God was speaking to Samuel. And that's why we need to take time with children. And when they have their questions, we shouldn't rush them. Eli was able over a period of time to determine. At first he thought Samuel was maybe dreaming. Wouldn't be the first child to call out in the night and be woken from a dream thinking something was going on or someone was calling him or disturbing him. And he sent him away twice. But when the Lord is speaking, He speaks persistently. When the Lord is going to bring someone to Himself for salvation, He speaks until they respond. And Eli was then able to perceive that. But there was a process there. There was conversation. There was dialogue. There was a process. And Eli proved and recognized God speaking to the child. He was able to probe. You know, in dealing with children, we should probe to see what's really going on in the heart. For if God is calling and speaking to children, He will continue to do so, and it will be very evident that the Lord is speaking to them over a period of time. And then notice the advice He gave. Look at verse 9. Therefore, this is the crux of the counsel. Therefore, Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down. And it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Do you notice the advice he gave called for a personal response? Samuel, you must respond personally. Eli saying, I can't respond for you. You must say personally, speak, Lord. You must be willing. You must be ready to receive and hear what God the Lord will say. And that response must come personally from the child. We can't save the children. We say this graciously and we say it reverently. If we could save our own children, we'd go to the ends of the earth to do it. If it meant them being in the kingdom, whatever it entailed to keep them out of hell, we'd go to the ends of the earth to do it. But we can't. Salvation is a personal matter between God and the individual, whether it's an adult or a child. And Eli told Samuel as a child, you must personally respond to the Lord. And the personal response that every child, every adult must make is that of repentance and faith, turning away from their sin and embracing and calling upon the Lord by faith. Do you notice it was not only a personal response that he advised Samuel he had to make, but it was a submissive response. Speak, Lord. Giving God His place as Lord in your life for thy servant. Taking the place of the servant. You see, salvation not only involves receiving Christ, but resigning ourselves and our lives over to Him. And that's what Eli's advising Samuel to do. Master, speak. I'm ready to hear what you have to say. I'm ready to do what you want me to do. I'm ready to resign myself and surrender myself to be your child, to be your servant, thy servant. I'm prepared to be your servant. Isn't that what Paul said when he was saved? There on the Damascus Road, he cried out in blindness. Who art thou, Lord? The reply came back, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And Paul, or Saul, in his response, he said, what wilt thou have me to do? There was surrender. He was doing his own thing. He was on his way to kill and to persecute and to imprison Christians. That's what he wanted to do in them. But when the Lord met him and dealt with him, it's what wilt thou have me to do? And Eli's telling young Samuel, when God speaks to you, you personally respond. You have to do it yourself. I can't do it for you, Samuel. And you respond with submission and surrender that you will become the child of the Lord. Fourth point I want to make is this. That's the advice and the counsel, by the way, that we should give any child, any young person seeking spiritual counsel. You've got to seek the Lord yourself. You surrender yourself to Him in faith and repentance. Give your life to Him. And I tell you, He'll not only save you, but He'll lead you and He'll guide you throughout all of your days, as He did to Samuel. The fourth point is this. Look at verse 20, just as we close this morning. Samuel's conversion was evident for all to see. Look at verse 20. And all Israel from Dan even to Beersheba. Dan was away up in the north. And Beersheba was away down in the south of Israel. From Dan even to Beersheba, all Israel knew that Samuel, a little child brought up in the temple, he grew to be a man. They knew he was established to be a prophet of the Lord. I know Samuel was unique. The Lord had a prophetic ministry for him. He led Israel from ruin to revival, from defeat to deliverance, from Ichabod to Ebenezer. But the same is true in every individual. If God genuinely steps into the life of a child or a young person and calls them to Himself, and that child or young person responds, Master, speak, thy servant heareth, and gives her life and heart to the Lord, there'd be a change that's evident for men and women to see and know. There'd be an interest in the things of God. There'd be a desire to walk in His ways and fellowship with the Lord. Old W.P. Nicholson used to say, you can't be saved and not show it. And whether it's the aged or the young, when God calls young or old souls to Himself, there's a difference. There's evidence that parents can see, that Sabbath school teachers, children's workers, youth workers, ministers should see, and others should see, that they have an interest and a love for the Lord and the things of God. I say earnestly and genuinely, may the Lord do a work in these days among the children, the lambs of the flock. This land is sinking more and more into apostasy and confusion about spiritual things. May God work among the young and raise up a generation who will know the Lord and be strong and do exploits for Him.